Ron Ananian.
After taking his vehicle to a Tesla service center, he was quoted, are you ready? $16,000 after being told the entire battery would need replacing. So he reached out to Benoit, who was able to fix the small part using a brass fitting that you'd find at a home improvement store for only $700, 23 times less than Tesla's quote. So I guess we're going to be going to Home Depot to get our cars fixed in the future.
The Car Doctor.
We'll start fixing more Australian cars. There's a lot of good say about that. Yeah, you never know. But anyway, let's hop along. You get that kangaroo hop Australia segue. Like a lead balloon.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, Tom, did you ever watch The Tonight Show as a kid?
Always.
Well, then again, you were probably old enough to stay up and watch it because you're old. But
that's true.
You ever notice how when Johnny would kick it off, he would turn to Ed every once in a while and ask Ed a direct question and a story to kind of get things going?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, listen, you'll be selling Apple dog food next. Remember that.
Hey, you never know.
Do you remember I want to talk about a little science experiment. And this is a very, very true story. Tom came by the shop this week. We changed the oil in his car. I think it was Tuesday.
Yeah, I think so. But what the listeners need to know about this is that I stop by the shop and we change the oil or something, and you go, hey, Tom, let's try this on your car. And it's usually when I'm doing something like going to Philadelphia or going to Virginia or going to Baltimore.
Right. taking a short hop, you know. So Tom takes these short rides to places. You know, if Tom ever says to his wife, hey, Sue, I'm going out for milk, she wants to know what part of Pennsylvania he's going to from New York, because it's all these long-distance rides for most people, but not Tom.
Yeah, well, actually, this week it's Iowa, but I'm not driving, so.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll be back out there. Well, they need the president of the Car Doctor Fan Club out there. I understand that. So,
right.
Tom came by, and we've got some Berryman high, they're with Hess Technology, the fuel tank cleaner, the fuel system cleaner, guaranteed tune-up in a can. And I said, Tom, I want you to try this, because I had really good results using it in the Suburban. It got rid of the ping. And it idles better. It was having a little bit of a stutter off the line, and I couldn't quite. And as I looked at fuel trim on the scan tool, I was watching it, and I said, you know, fuel trim's getting a little cockeyed for this motor, because I know that the way that car's supposed to work, and the Berryman really cleaned it up well. So I gave Tom a can, and I didn't really tell him what it was. I just had him pour it in. He knew it was something Berryman. I've actually got a picture of it, but I've been so busy, I haven't put it up on Facebook. And this morning, when I was out running around doing errands before the show, I said, by the way, Tom, had that can of Berryman's yada, yada, yada work, and the end result is, Mr. Ray?
Well, the end result was, and granted, when I left your place, I had to go to Secaucus. I filled up the tank because it was about three quarters full when I was at the shop. And then I drove down to Philadelphia. And about halfway down to Philadelphia, I noticed a couple of things. First of all, the vehicle, and this car has almost 295,000.
Yes, it's almost 300,000 now, you're right.
Yeah, and driving down there, in the past several weeks, it's kind of like what you described. It not really a stutter, but it was almost like a minor hesitation off the line. It was too minor to even mention, and I noticed that was gone. And I also noticed in the hot weather in the summer, this car has always had this feeling about it. It's not really it's not really having trouble, but it just has this feel. It feels like it doesn't want to go down the road. It's going. It's having a great, but it doesn't feel like it's really has enthusiasm to move down the road. That feeling is gone. It's just moving.
Right.
You know. And also, lately, when you're on a like a road around here in the neighborhood, it's about 30 miles an hour around here. And, you know, the car doesn't really get out of third or fourth gear. But it seemed like it was almost bogging down a little bit. You know, and it wanted the transmission to downshift. That's gone. I mean, right. This stuff's great.
Well, because, you know, we're talking about loss of power affects how the trans reaches its shift point. over the curve, and you've made it better. That was actually, I'll tell you the secret, Tom. That was Berryman's number 2116, or I'm sorry, 26. Berryman's 2616. That's their Hest High Energy Solvent Technology can of fuel system cleaner, and it's really, it's doing some really great stuff. I wanted you to try it, and if you're a good boy, I'll give you another one the next time you come down.
Good, yeah, it's good stuff. Matter of fact, I'll get one for the Mrs. Carr too, because this is great. It made a noticeable improvement. Usually when you say that, I just sit there and go, yeah, okay, I'll just kind of look around. But no, it made a noticeable improvement. I was impressed.
Well, and the only reason I do this is because I want people to understand, when we tell you we tried something, we try something. There isn't anything I don't think we've ever talked about that we haven't tried. And you know, there's a reason why we're probably not in a top 10 national show, in a sense, because we kind of tend to tell the truth about advertising. We've been approached to advertise some really ridiculous stuff, and we turn them down. It's, you know, we like what we have.
Yeah, and like I said, this stuff worked. And it was noticeable before the first tank of gas was off, gone, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's berrymanproducts.com, by the way, is the website. I wanted to get that out of the way before we go to the phones. And then I want to talk about this. I was going to talk about this in the previous hour. Did you see the article out of Ann Arbor, Michigan? This is how I know electric cars are in trouble. They've annoyed the Catholic Church. Okay, there's an article out of Ann Arbor, Michigan that talks about the Catholic Church is fighting parking requirements. They're trying to expand the church, and the town of Ann Arbor wanted them to put something like 95 electric vehicle charging stations in. And the church came back and fought against it in the town, and they ended up with 6 electric vehicle charging spots and 4 possible future slots. And this went back and forth and on and on and on for a couple of months. And it's it's not just this story about zoning and small town America. Ann Arbor's not so small, but it's remember what I say to you here, folks. It's the societal change of what electric vehicles represent. Already, we're trying to accommodate electric vehicles to the point of overkill. 95 electric vehicle parking spots for the church that they can't even afford. The church couldn't afford to do it. They cited them as too expensive and unnecessary because we're not there yet. Electric vehicles are 2-3% of the population. What are we thinking? To make electric vehicle parking spots for electricity we don't have to charge cars that aren't on the road yet? This sounds like that line. There's a movie, Dave. You ever see Dave? Where the guy that looks like the president is mad. I can't think of the actor's name. The guy that looks like the president becomes the president. And there's a line in there where he's trying to balance the budget. And he talks about, you want to have an advertising campaign to make the American public feel good about a car they already purchased, that they're already driving, but you want me to close a homeless shelter for kids? And it has all the logic and concise thought process of that. You know, it's just ludicrous. But, you know, I could go on. I'm just here to report the news. There was another article recently, too, out of the Wall Street Journal about gas engines are already being cast aside for electric vehicles. And while this is all happening, and that was out of the Wall Street Journal, July 23rd of this year. While all this is happening, while this electric vehicle crescendo is building, they still won't tell us where the electricity is coming from. They still won't tell us where we're getting the batteries from. They still won't tell us about the recycling. They still won't tell us about the job losses, about the economic impact. All they're telling us is electric vehicles are the wave of the future. I think we're going to be waving. I think it's going to be goodbye to a couple of things because it just doesn't make sense. And I want to point out that from a repair procedure point of view, you know, we've got repair shops out there that can't spell OBD2, much less fix it. And now you're going to give these guys electric vehicles? And, you know, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. I still maintain my position. 10-15% of the fleet electric vehicle, delivery vehicles, mail vehicles, you know, taking the kids to school around town, but you don't need to make the whole country electric vehicle. I think that's ridiculous. I really do. So, Tom, let's pull over, take a pause.
Well, before we do that, speaking of maintenance, I was in a cab in New York City yesterday.
Oh, no.
Big sign posted in the cab that says, you know, these vehicles are maintained to the high standards of the whatever the authority is that, you know, that handles the cabs in New York. And I'm looking over the guy's shoulder. Check engine light, low pressure warning light. I think there was an oil light. There was some other light on. It was like, really? I really like their standards.
You know what that brings to my mind, Tom, and I mean this in all sincerity. An electric vehicle will not operate with warning lights on to that capacity.
There you go.
So all this nickel and dime, Rube Goldberg, patching things up is going to come to an end. And the economic impact of you can't cheat with your vehicle anymore. I had some, you know what? Go to the YouTube page and Google Ron Ananian and look at the library. Look at the 07 Envoy fuse box video I did. Some guy, some genius, actually said, why did you put a fuse box in it? Why didn't you just put a jumper wire instead of putting a fuse box in it? Because I wrote him back. I said, I said it nicely. First of all, I told him there's enough hacks out there because I think that's a hack move and a hack thought. And number one, and number two, I don't want to be liable for the fire. The GM engineer designed that with a purpose, believe me. And when you stand in front of the judge, hey, gee, why'd the car catch fire and the three people inside were roasted to death? Well, because some guy put a jumper wire in because he knew more than the GM engineer that went to school for this. Good luck with that. All that stuff is going to come to an end. No more check engine lights on. Well, no more warning lights. Because I guarantee you they're going to make it so that the electric vehicles, when they fail, you're going to have to fix it. Because there's going to be no, when the Starship Enterprise loses warp drive, they can only go so far in impulse power. I'll leave it there. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's cruising back right after this.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
He drives that way, but when it comes to fixing cars, Ron has car advice done right. 855-560-9900. Here's Ron.
Hey, we made him wait long enough. Let's get over to Michael in Missouri. Michael, thank you for your patience and letting Tom and I ramble a little bit. We're fired up and ready to go, brother. How can we help you in your vehicle today?
Yeah, I have a 2008 Ram 1500 I've had for about 2 months now. It's got a 4.7 liter crew cab, four-wheel drive with a six-speed manual.
Okay.
The truck has about 138,000 miles on it. The engine was replaced at 98,000. It was supplied by Jasper. I'm having some transmission issues with it. On a colder morning, when I first started up, it'll make a really loud, really fast tapping noise when my foot's on the clutch. And then when I let go, it'll go away. So I'll kind of put my foot on the clutch, back off it a couple of times, and then it'll kind of die down and won't do it. It'll grind really hard and really loudly going into second gear and going into third gear, especially unless you double clutch. Then it doesn't do it near as much. It will not downshift into second gear unless your RPMs are just about at 1,000 to 1,200.
You got to speed match the shifter. Okay.
Yeah. I took it to the Dodge dealer, and they put about a half hour of labor into it. They told me that the first thing that they would have to do is put a clutch in it for $2,300. They said they couldn't guarantee that I would fix it, but they wouldn't be able to diagnose it better than that before putting a clutch in it. And that sounds like a lot of money to throw at it, without properly diagnosing it. So I wanted to call and get your opinion on it first.
Well, I think $2,000 for a clutch is probably the game today. It really is. Clutch parts are just insane. It's probably more to fix a manual transmission vehicle transmission than it is automatic in some cases today. It's crazy, the numbers. Yeah, it's not. So $2,000 is, it's going rate. I hate to say it like that. And that's new clutch. I'm sure that's Chrysler stuff, Chrysler throwout bearing. And it is, the vehicle is almost 14, going on 15 years old. I'm sure there's rusty exhaust parts and things to deal with. And, what's the breakage factor? So let's assume it's $2,500, all right? But I think the other thing that they're missing is, has anybody checked fluid level in the trans? Has anybody drained the fluid out of the trans? Is there metal in the trans? What can we know right off the bat? Because listen, the easy fix here, you want me to diagnose it? I can diagnose it from here, but I haven't seen the vehicle. My answer is going to be, Michael, we're going to put a clutch and a transmission in your car. It's fine. It's done. It's fixed. That's what they've got to be talking about to you, because then you've got to make a decision at 140,000 miles, a 2008, how much rust, how badly beat up is the rest of the vehicle? Is it worth putting a clutch in a transit? It probably is, but I think rather than what I think is leading you down the road is to try to, let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Is it a bad trans too? It sounds like it needs a clutch, but it sounds like it may need a trans. You know, like there's more than one problem here. So, you know, back to my first comment. Has anybody drained the fluid out of it? Has anybody checked fluid level in the trans?
No. It sounds like the dealer, they pretty much, it sounds like they just took it for a test drive. They didn't really tear into anything or look right. at anything, don't sound like.
You know, here's the question I want you to answer, whether you do it now on the air, tomorrow morning to yourself, or Monday. If this needed a trans and a clutch, and it was $6,000, would you do it?
Oh, absolutely. You can't find these trucks anymore. I want to make it last as long as I can.
Okay. So what you're really looking for then is a competent repair shop. I'm not saying the dealer isn't. You're looking for a competent repair shop. You're looking for someone that will look after this vehicle like it's their own. Someone that's going to, you know, the little things. And that's how you gauge a quality repair shop. A quality repair shop, in my mind, is gauged by the things that they don't charge you for on the bill, but they do it anyway. When they spray paint the rusty spot, when they throw a little fluid in the washer bottle and it's not there for an oil change. You know, when they put the inspection sticker on the car and they clean around the glue off the old one because that little snot of glue in the corner would make them crazy because of the glass. You know, it's not nice. You know, that's really what you're after. Do you have a shop where you have a relationship with, Michael?
Not really, no. I've always gone to dealerships for like warranty work or recalls, but most everything else I do on my own, but
okay.
I don't feel confident enough to tear into a transmission either, though. So.
Well, you probably wouldn't fix the trans. You would likely just swap the trans out, or you know, if you can pull the trans, send it out to a rebuilder. Do you have a trans rebuild shop in town that's got a good reputation?
Yes, I do.
Do they do carry-in work?
That I do not know. I'd have to call them and
you know, because not every shop does. I think the way that you have to approach this, and I think the way the shop would approach this, and you know, this is what you're going to listen for when you call these guys up. Hey, I got this 08 Dodge, and it's got this tapping noise in the transmission, and the dealer tells me I need a clutch before they can even diagnose the rest of it. What would you guys do? See what he says. Doesn't it make sense that you would check fluid level in the trans? What if the trans is completely out of fluid? And you've been driving around for the past 3 months without no fluid in the trans. Good reason why it's making a tapping noise. So therefore, we can now make the determination that, gee, with no fluid in the trans for a couple of months, the trans is probably bad and needs a complete overhaul. Okay, so I need a clutch and a trans overhaul. Isn't that a better place to start?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. You want to move to New Jersey to be near me. I understand. I get this.
I would love to.
I get this all the time. Trust me. You know, that's why I told Tom, no car doctor sightings today. It's spooky. I go out, I don't talk. Michael, think about what I said. It is cheaper than a new vehicle. If there's limited rust on it, if the rest of it's good, it's got a new engine. You know what? A couple of grand, anything less than $6,000 or $7,000. If you get away for $4,000, you got away cheap. Just put a good clutch in it and make sure they give you some kind of guarantee with the transmission itself. Appreciate the call. Ron and Annie, the car doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back. Ron Annie, the car doctor, cruising along this hour with Big Tom Ray behind the control board there. You're looking good this hour, Tom. I should tell you that, point that out. That, I saw the picture up on Facebook. That's a cute little studio you have there.
Yeah. It's a nice little corner here in what used to be my home office. I kind of converted it to the studio.
So. Yeah, I know. People don't understand. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, you know, how's Tom? I go, I don't know. I see him once in a while, but I really don't see a lot of him because, you know, he's 50 miles north of me. And, you know, here I am in New Jersey, you know, doing my thing.
And, you know, you talk to the neighbors and they don't realize there's a national radio show that comes out of this house every day,
right,
or every week.
Yeah, I actually had my next door neighbor, Frank, right? It's really kind of a funny story. So about 2 years ago, the local newspaper, we're off on a tangent here, the local newspaper did an article about me. And, you know, they talked about the car doctor and this and that. And I didn't even know what was going on. I woke up one day and it was on Facebook and somebody had written a story about me. And we were up on the local news section in the Record in New Jersey. My neighbor Frank comes over and he goes, "Is that you?" Because it's got Frank. That's my picture, isn't it? He goes, "But is that a mistake?" "No, Frank, that's really me." "Really? Where does all this happen?" I said, "Come here." And I took him inside. We came in through the garage into corporate headquarters here, as we like to call it. And he goes, "This is your laundry room." "Because it is." I said, "Well, you see down there at the end?" I said, "What does that look like?" He goes, "Well, it looks like a studio." "Well, there you go." He goes, "You do the whole thing right from here." "Right from here."
And that's funny because any picture I've ever posted of that studio online,
you can't tell.
You can't tell because I don't back up so you can see the washer and dryer.
Right. Yeah, nobody realizes. It's you know, when I talk to people about it, when those car doctor sightings. Oh, and another real quick, and then we'll go back to the phones. I know we're busy. So for Larry Dykehouse, for Dykehouse Construction, Midland Park, New Jersey, Larry, he's been doing some work for us around the house, and he didn't know. He really didn't know. And then one day I had to go out there and I say, "Hey, listen, I've got to do a little work. Could you guys, you know, hear all this hammer banging in the background?" I say, "Could you guys kind of hold it down for a minute?" "Yeah, what's up, Ron?" I said, "I just got to go do something." And they kind of wandered over and they heard me record a couple of spots. And I come out of there and it was like that scene. Remember that scene in American Graffiti where Richard Dreyfuss went in to see Wolfman Jack at the studio and he says, "No, I'm not the Wolfman." And then he walks out and the Wolfman's doing his thing on the microphone, right? You know, and it was sort of like that moment. They're all looking at me going, "Wait a minute, you're the car doctor." And I turned around and I went, "Really? Oh, okay. Well, I guess I better be. I've got his name on my underwear." So, you know, well, Larry has an Uncle Dave. He's a lawyer, I think he said. I think it's Dave that listens to the show. So I said, I promise. So for Larry's Uncle Dave, whoever it is, the lawyer, this is the shout out. "Hi, Dave, you've got yours." Okay, that's your 30 seconds of fame. Now, you had something to say or can I get back to the phones?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, and people don't realize like those opens, I do those on the kitchen table on the computer. And then I come downstairs and I do the recording of the commercials and stuff. And then I walk in here and put everything on the air. And if people only knew outside this house.
I know. Yeah, I know. I keep thinking, you know what? If we made this more complicated, we'd screw it up because it's been working for 12 years. Well, 30 years. What am I saying? 30 years. Mark in Maine, very patiently waiting there, sir. How may I help?
Ron, you guys just had me giggling. Like, holy cop.
I'm telling you, hey. You have no idea what it's like to be us because it's like the weirdest feeling in the world. The worst part about being me is you sneak into the deli and you get a sandwich and somebody says, "Hey, Ron, how's the radio show going?" And everybody turns around. It's like that E.F. Hutton moment. Remember those E.F. Hutton commercials when E.F. Hutton speaks? And you go,
"Yes,
yeah, it's good. I got to go. Give me my hat." Out the door. So how may I help you, sir?
All right. This ain't, I don't need any help, but I've been trying to get in touch with you. I'm the one with the 2012 Ford F-150 EcoBoost.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's talk maintenance.
I'm ready.
Okay.
What do you want to know? Oil? To me, in my mind, turbo cars, you know, turbo cars are just tough on oil. So,
yep, 3,000 miles.
Right. 3 to 5. You know, I might let you go 5 if you put an overrated oil for it. Here's why I like to do, you know, here's one thing that, and I'm not talking about the do-it-yourselfer that's changing his own oil because he's under the hood every Saturday anyway. You can tell because he's the guy. He's the guy that's harangued by his wife. Are you working on that vehicle again? All right. But for most people that are driving a turbo vehicle, doing regular maintenance in the 5,000 mile range is good because as the vehicle gets older, here's a 10-year-old vehicle with probably over 100,000 miles and more on it. Don't you kind of want somebody under the hood every 5-6 months, kind of looking around, what's falling apart, what's loose, what's breaking, what's ready to break, what's leaking? So,
right.
You know, yeah, it's all about maintenance. It's not just about changing things. It's about looking at things.
Right. I change mine every 3,000 miles because, you know, turbos run hot. It's going to burn the oil. 3,000 miles. And I don't know. I sent you a couple pictures maybe, I don't know, an hour ago.
All right. I probably haven't seen them yet. But yeah, listen, there's nothing wrong with changing oil, you know, a little early. I completely 100% agree with that. You know, the mm-hmm. you know what the hard problem is with oil changes, Mark? We've got people out there that tell me that they think 10,000 miles is a good oil change interval using nothing but standard oil and regular filters.
No.
And I, you know, you can go 10,000 miles on an oil change, but you better have an oil filter rated for it, and you better have oil rated for it. Otherwise you're just, you know, there's only so many times you can bang on the door before the door falls open and it hits you in the head. So anyway, so that's oil. What else you want to talk about? Coolant? How often are you changing coolant on this truck?
Once every 2 years.
Okay. And what are you using, Ford Gold? Conventional green?
Yep, right. Okay. I couldn't tell you.
So, you know, depending upon what color the coolant is, orange or gold, you can go 3 to 5 years. I think the other thing you got to think about is how many miles are on this truck?
141,000 and change.
All right, so it's 10 years old. It's just about 10 years old.
Just broken in.
Yep. You ever put a radiator in it?
Nope.
Plastic radiator. So you want to pay attention. You want to pay attention to that. The plastic tank radiators, when do they fail? The intercoolers are kind of bulletproof. You want to look at the transcooler lines. Make sure they're not rusting, especially up there in Maine, where they invented corrosion. That's what the state's known for.
Right.
You know, ask the people around the Bath Bridge. I still remember that story. The Bath Bridge rotted off its foundation a couple of 5-6 years ago because the corrosive used to clean snow and ice off the road was so harsh. So, you know, think about component replacement, coolant, obviously driveline fluids every 30 to 40,000 miles is a great idea. If it's wet, replace it. And I think that's a great starting point. And then of course, brake fluid every 2 years at a minimum, if not more often. And then because of the environment you're in, because it's all about environment, you want to think, you know, lubing things, keeping rubber components wet. A little silicon spray, we actually make a concoction of silicon spray and some penetrating oil and some liquid wrench, and we'll keep things wet lubricating-wise and keep things from corroding. But that's what maintenance is all about. And you know what, Mark, when I see your pictures, I'll comment further, but I appreciate the call. So let's get going. So you stay in touch. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor is coming back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back. Ron Neen, the Car Doctor, cruising along this hour at 855-560-9900 with the ever capable, always lovable, often imitated, never duplicated Tom Ray at the control board. Let's go over to Steve in Virginia, 89 Suburban, a couple of them, 89 Suburban, 95 Suburban, you know, 3 for a nickel today, Steve. If you got a third one, we'll do that too. Go ahead. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing there?
Good. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
95 Suburban, I got a HVAC control unit that does not work. It randomly puts the air to the defroster, heat, or vent. You can't control it. Replace the unit. Still doesn't work. It's a 95, so they don't make the unit anymore. You can't buy it. You have to go get one from a later vehicle.
Right.
And get an adapter plug to make it work.
Right.
Still doesn't work, and I can't pass inspection.
How do you know it's the control unit? Did you diagnose it to that, or are you just guessing and swapping parts?
What are the actuators on the bottom? I've replaced those. One was bad, and I did replace that at a split gear.
Okay.
I'm getting signal at the actuators, but other than that, they had a crack. Like the board was cracked, so I had a break in one of the electrical parts in the HVAC unit.
So it sounds like Stevie, you're telling me that the control unit itself, the plastic control unit, is failing mechanically, so it's a mechanical failure. You
dry rotted.
Yeah. You've looked for replacement pieces. I know they don't make this stuff anymore.
Yeah, at the time nobody had it, so I ended up buying one that was reconditioned, and it's still, it's a little different, but it's not perfect. It'll switch from defroster. Like if I want defroster, I have to put it on heat. So this is back, works backwards now.
Right. It sounds like you've got the right. It sounds like you're looking for the right parts. You just can't find them, from what you're telling me. It sounds like it's been diagnosed properly. What's the name of the company that does? Is it LMC Truck?
Yeah, they do have one, but they don't have it for the 95.
It figures, right? So
it's only for some reason just the 95 is not available.
Yeah, something makes it unique. Then it's just, you know what? It's Craigslist and probably something from a drier climate where it's less likely to be damaged by the environment is the best way I could explain it. So let's move on to the wiper core vehicle, because your first one sounds like it's parts. What's going on with the wiper vehicle?
Okay, 89 Chevy Suburban.
Right.
That's my daily truck. So I need wipers to pass inspection.
Well, you also need wipers to drive in the rain. I mean, the heck with inspection, but you know. So, and what's going on with this?
What I do is the stalk, when you turn it to low, you don't get wipers. So you have to turn it to high, and then you get wipers. But then when you turn them off, it just stops anywhere. It won't stop. It just keeps going.
Okay.
So to stop it, you have to rotate it all the way to pulse. You know, or intermittent, and then release it right when you want it to stop at the bottom.
and what sort of diagnosis have you done to this?
On this one, I've done I've replaced the stalk switch because I needed a new one anyway because the paint was off of it. You couldn't read it, and that still made no difference on it.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's possibly the control board.
Yeah, the control boards themselves, went bad more often than anything on those vehicles. As a matter of fact, if you take it off, I believe it's three torque screws holding it on.
Yes, like a little fin.
Yep, yeah, that's a Torx, yep. That you're going to see, you'll actually see a burn mark on the circuit board. But here, let's do this. Let's go to the wiper motor. All right? With the key in the run position. Even though you already have some of these answers, with the key in the run position, the white wire should show 12 volts, should show battery voltage. Okay?
Okay.
If you put it in low speed, the gray wire should become grounded. So if you put the meter across the white and the gray, you should show 12 volts. That's ground. Okay? If you put it across the purple and turn the switch to high, you should see the same thing. That at least tells you the circuit's complete. Now, if you don't get that, then you've got to go back and say, why not? And if I'm not mistaken, there was a way, and I think the pulse boards are still available, but I thought there was a way to jumper around the pulse board. I'm trying to remember. It's 20 years ago. It's longer than that. I thought there was a way to jump around the pulse board just to put it in low and high so you can at least verify that that's your fault.
See, this chassis doesn't have a pulse board. Like the 89 pickup would have a pulse board, you know, out underneath the hood.
Right.
But the 89 Suburban just has that little box underneath the dash, underneath the steering column.
Right.
So when I go to buy an 89, they give me the pulse board, which is the wrong board. That's
right.
The wrong part.
So you have, so right, so the and the difference here is going to be that I think there was a V and a K, or a, yeah, there was a new body style and an old body style Suburban. That year, yeah. So, unfortunately, yeah, you know, it sounds like you're in the need of parts, but if you want to test it that way that I just described, that'll at least tell you your basics are there. Hey, process of elimination, tell me what's good. You'll be able to figure out what's bad. I'll look around. I'll see if I can come up with something for a pulse board. There's got to be a source somewhere. Maybe Dorman. Go out to DormanProducts.com. Check it out. Maybe they've got something rebuilt, and if not, maybe we can talk again next week. Stay in touch. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Welcome back. We're on the name of the Car Doctor. So a real quick restoration story. We haven't talked any restoration in a while. We had a friend of Danny's, my mechanic, he gave him these control arms for the 78 Corvette that Danny needed to do upper control arm bushings on. And the fellow that owned the car had tried to do it himself. Never a good sign. And, you know, we got these control arm bushings. You can see that he'd been pounding on them with chisels and hammers trying to get the bushings out. And that's when he gave up and turned it over to Danny. So, you know, there was nothing left to grab. There was nothing left to press. So the first thing I did, this probably would have made a good video, I set him on fire out in the parking lot. I took the torch, I heated the rubber up, and started melting the bushings. I put it in a steel box so it wouldn't melt the parking lot, and burned the rubber bushings out, and I was able to get the bushings apart and get them apart. The problem was, in his attempt to fix it, he put some gouges in the cross shafts. Thank God for JB Weld, right? Went out to the JB Weld website, did some reading. Steel stick epoxy putty. All right, I cleaned it. I cleaned what he had damaged, filed it, smoothed it, you know, filled it, filed it, smoothed it, put the bushings on. You'll never know the difference, and they're as strong as the day they were made. Thank God for JB Weld. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.